Right, so am I right? Is this the last one of the reasons beyond value? So if you've not heard a couple of them, then do go onto the website in order to hear the ones that you've missed, because it's not just one value, it's the whole shebang. So I've got shaped by the prophetic to do this afternoon. I'd like to pray before doing that, if that's okay. And Lord, I want to thank you so much for being so powerfully among us as we worship. And I want to pray that you would come and that you would continue to speak to us now. Lord, the title is Shaped by the Prophetic, so I pray that we would be shaped by the prophetic just as we look at your word together now. Amen. So in terms of this topic, I've got a very simple structure. There's actually 4 points, so that's somewhere in between your 3 and your 7. That's the 15 years amount. So I know at what point I get some more. So what I wanted to do first was to look at what is the prophetic, because I think that's good to look at. If we're going to look at being shaped by the prophetic, we need to know what the prophetic is. Then secondly, I want to look at how people in the Bible were shaped by the prophetic. Then look at how new frontiers have been shaped by the prophetic. Then how regions beyond has been shaped by the prophetic. And then how Gateway Church has been shaped by the prophetic. And then what we can take from that. So actually that's 5 really, isn't it? So I can't count. It's because as a Southwadian, when we talk about, we're going to do a couple of things, we talk about 3 instead. So I'll just put the 2 and 3 together. So to start off with, then, I've just got a couple of definitions of the prophetic. Found one from Richard Hubbard. Remember Richard Hubbard? So he said that prophecy is me speaking out what I believe God is saying. I'm foretelling what is on God's heart. I quite like the way he writes, because it's quite simple and not quite simple. The next one that I found was R.T. Kendall. He says that it's a revelation from God, a knowledge which is beyond perception. Grudem does it massively, as he would do, but I've condensed it. He looked at the Greek meaning of prophecy, which is to declare, to proclaim, and to make known. And then my last one is Kim McCaffrey, who was one of our elders in Coventry. So he basically would tell us that the prophetic is about helping others to see what God is doing or what God's heart is. So I quite like that one. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of an understanding of what the prophetic is. So is prophecy something that's new? Because sometimes we think that it's just the crazy charismatic churches who do the prophetic, and perhaps this is just something that's been around for 10, 15 years. Well, it's not new. It's in the Bible. Got a nice Bible there. So it's right there from the beginning. God has always spoken to his people. That's who he is. So you see him walking through the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, just talking with them. And then you find that even as his people turned away from him, so as Cain kills Abel, he speaks to Cain and says, "What have you done?" So even as people turned away from him, he spoke into them. He spoke into a godless people, spoke to Noah about building the ark. God always spoke through to his people. And it's actually what marks him out from false gods. So you find that in Psalm 115, it says that false gods don't speak, but our God does speak. You've got in 1 Kings 18 as well, it says that Baal doesn't answer. So this false god who many people are worshipping doesn't answer, but our God answers. You talk to him, you ask him, and he answers you. In Hebrews 1, find that God spoke in ancient times through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Good catch, Tim. And then we've also got, we almost had a baby born. We've also then got Moses, we find that he spoke with such intimacy with God, so they spoke face to face. the crux of the matter is that God wants to talk to us. One of my favourite verses is from Jeremiah 33, which says, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things you have not known." And I think that's a wonderful thing, that actually it's not this sense of us having to strive and grab his attention. Actually, it's God's heart to speak to us. That's what he wants to do. He wants to speak to us, and he wants to reveal things to us that we do not know. Hidden things he wants to reveal. Some people may then say, well, we don't need prophecy because we've got the Bible. All of the stuff is in that Old Testament, and we don't need prophecy any longer. And that's just nonsense, to be honest. Because the words and the spirit are not, don't oppose each other. It's not this whole sense of them being in opposition. Actually, as we look at the regions beyond values, we've had that one about being faithful to Scripture. We love Scripture. But we also need to be people shaped by the prophetic. They do not oppose each other. Actually, the Bible was God-breathed. You find that in 2 Timothy 3. So this is actually the product of God speaking.
Yeah.
And we also need the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us as we read the Bible. I had someone talking to me recently who said, well, what does all this stuff mean? And I said, well, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what he's saying to you through the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks to us. There's a sense that theology isn't just about knowing more about God, it's about getting to know him.
Yes.
And the prophetic helps us to know him, to know his heart. And when I was looking through all of the armour of God, actually, the word of God is the offensive weapon. It's the only one that's used to advance. But you don't know how to move it unless you're in tune with him. And then lastly, as we look at Jesus, everything to do with Jesus, we see the prophetic coming in. So even though the Jews had the Old Testament talking time and time again about all of these prophecies to do with how he'd come, who he'd be, what he'd do, God still spoke to Mary that she would be his mother and what was going on. Still spoke to Joseph to not divorce her. Still spoke to Elizabeth to say, to reveal to her that Mary was the mother of her Lord. Still spoke to Zechariah to talk about the relationship between John and Jesus. Still spoke to the shepherds to direct them to go down. Still spoke to the wise men to direct them down. And then still spoke to Joseph in a dream to warn him to take them away from where they were because Herod would kill Jesus. So even in the story of Jesus, the prophetic is there. And then as we see Jesus' ministry, he says that I do what I see the Father doing. It's not cold things that he does. It's not that he walks along on a day and goes, I think I'll heal some people today. He did what he saw the Father doing. How else do you have some fishermen who are fishing all day and he just speaks to them and says, put the net down the other side, and they have a big catch? It's the prophetic. It's hearing what God is saying. So then, was it just Jesus who heard God's voice? No, we see it all the way through the New Testament as well. Gordon Fee, this is one for you, Tim, ready for next week. So Gordon Fee says that the message of the gospel is truth accompanied with experienced reality. God verified by a display of his own power through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's not just cold words. It's God coming and opening people's hearts up. So as Tim prepares for next week, we should be praying that he speaks with the prophetic. That as he speaks, that God would speak through into people's hearts. That's what happened on Wednesday night. It wasn't cleverness. It wasn't anything like that. It was God speaking in and directing Mike of how to speak to Chris. And that's what we need to pray for Tim for next Sunday. We see that prophecy is frequently mentioned by Paul So you see that even his conversion is God speaking to him before he knew him, saying, why are you persecuting me? So even right at that moment. And Gordon Fee again, he says that for Paul, prophecy consisted of spontaneous, intelligible messages orally delivered in the gathered assembly that are intended for the edification and encouragement of the people. And you see this continually through the New Testament, that he actually built and shaped churches through the prophetic. So if we look at Acts 16, this is probably one of the best examples. Acts 16, verses 6 to 10. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of that name and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave Macedonia, concluding that God called us to preach the gospel to them. So see an instance there of God saying, don't go there, go there. Further on, you'll see the fruit of that, that people are saved and added as a result of God saying, don't go here, go there. There's something of fruitfulness that comes as you walk, as he speaks to you. Find similarly that in Corinth, Paul is praying and he's concerned because of the oppression that's coming from people there. And God speaks to him in a dream and says, I have many in this town. No one will attack you or harm you. And the fruit of that is that he stays there for another 6 months. He sees many turn to Jesus and he sees that church growing. But if it wasn't for the prophetic, he might have just left there. It's something of, as God speaks, there's a fruitfulness that comes as a result of that. Then we've also got that even us being here wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the prophetic. So if you look at Peter's vision and Cornelius in Acts as well.
Yes.
So Peter was on top of a building and he had this vision of food coming down that Jews couldn't eat. And what I said, don't call things unclean that I call clean. As a result of that, he also then hears about Cornelius comes to his house and he goes and preaches to Cornelius and the Gentiles, and many of them turn to Jesus and are filled with the Holy Spirit. And he goes and reports back to the apostles what's happened. If it wasn't for him hearing that, the gospel wouldn't have gone to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be here. Then we've also got that we see the care of others take place. So again, in Acts, there's the foretelling of a famine to come in Jerusalem. And so the churches respond by giving and caring for those guys. So the prophetic changes our direction. So then, what about some of our church history? Is it going to work? Yes. You might know some of those people up here. Spot Ray Lowe. Spot Terry Virgo. So, how has the prophetic shaped New Frontiers? So, Terry Virgo started New Frontiers back in the 60s, 70s. You had the house church movement going on, and the charismatic renewal and the restoration of the church. And at that point, it just started as something incredibly small. Incredibly small. And you guys would know the story better than I would. I've just cheered it past down. But as we look at the history of New Frontiers, it's always been prophetic that has shaped the direction. And I'm guessing that as you look at those pictures, you know some of the words that I'm going to bring. So you've got the herd of elephants. So in the leaders' meeting, there was this picture of a herd of elephants going through a jungle, and smashing down the trees. And there was two sentences that came from that. One was that we'd be a people who would have no well-worn paths, that we'd pioneer into new ground, but also that we can do more together than we can apart. So it's a sense that as we do things, not to do it alone, but to do it together in partnership, in friendship, in relationship together. So that's where that whole sense comes of being a pioneering movement and doing that in relationship with each other. The bow and arrow. So again, this was around, I believe, the 90s, around the early 90s. At that point, most of the New Frontiers churches were just down on the south coast of England. And there was this picture brought of a bow and arrow. And the arrow was pointing out towards Europe. And this this bow was being pulled back across the rest of the UK. And it was the sense that we needed to pull back further into the UK in order to plant out into Europe and the rest of the world. This resulted in church planting really taking off in the UK. So Colin Barron moved up to Manchester, and Dave Devnish planted the Mid-UK team, which Nigel and Callie are part of that. And it also saw the Bible Week go from being the Downs to going to the Midlands as well, going to Stoneleigh. So God spoke and things changed. As a result of that, churches were planted out throughout the whole of the UK. And the result of it has been churches planted out through Europe. The next one is Stoneleigh. I tried to get some pictures of Stoneleigh, but they're really hard to get on the computer now. So again, Stoneleigh Bible Week was probably one of the biggest and best known ones in the UK. In its last year, there was 28,000 people there. So this is a huge event. But in 2000, Terry just sensed that God was saying to close Stoneleigh, which seemed contradictory to success, really. This wonderful thing that everyone loves, everyone enjoyed going to, God said, stop it. And it was time to go, that we would be scattered like seeds and take roots in many different environments. So 2001 was the last one of those. And it resulted in people not just viewing things as a conference, not just viewing things as meetings, but actually people working out their faith in various environments, taking the kingdom into the places that they lived, resulted in many more churches being planted. Then you'll know Simon Pettit. He preached a word about remember the poor. Phil talked about this when he preached. The result of that was, again, that we changed direction. We went and started to engage and embrace the poor as well. As you look through, Jubilee Plus was formed out of that as well, and there's been a huge change in the way in which we engage with people, going from being predominantly a middle class people to actively engaging with poor. Then the next one we've got is Terry's handover to the Spears. So we were there in 2011 when Mark Driscoll came to the Leaders Conference and spoke about Terry needing to look at how he handed over New Frontiers. The response of that was, as people weighed it, there was a sense that as a family, to not get a successor, but instead that the sons would become fathers, and that's where the Spears came from. So Regions Beyond is one of those, and that's where we came from, was a direct word from God. So again, the result of that has been many more nations have been touched by the gospel and many more churches have been planted throughout the world. Somewhere in the region of around 1,000 churches in who knows how many different nations. I find it quite exciting. And again, I don't know how it seems being in the midst of some of those. I can only talk about the ones that I know, but some of them didn't make sense. So when, particularly the Stoneleigh one, I really didn't get my head around that, being told that it was going to stop. But you can see that God speaks into things which seem like they're going well. And he tells us to do something different, which actually is more fruitful. And that's the government.
The stone law, there's two things, and there's a guy called Crianza that came to the Brighton conference where Simon is speaking that sermon, and he, which was to do with where you were as well, he actually, in the middle of a meeting, stopped and asked whether anybody knew where Coventry was or something like this. And somebody said, well, we know where Coventry was. So your church and your guys moved there, and Stoneleigh became Stoneleigh Bible Week because of that. So your church that you were is because of Granzac's prophecy.
Yeah.
You know, at the same time. Sorry.
No. But I think that's the sense is that God speaks to someone who doesn't even know how to pronounce the place.
Yeah.
It didn't know it existed.
Yeah. And I think that's the sense that actually God breaks in and God wants to direct us. This is actually something quite dynamic and something quite exciting to be directed by Him in this way. So next we've got regions beyond. How has regions beyond been shaped by our prophetic? Well, the name comes from 2 Corinthians 10 verses 15 and 16, which says that our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel into the regions beyond you. That's where that comes from, is to be able to preach out into the regions beyond. And got Steve's notes here, Steve Oliver's notes. So he says here that one of the key prophecies was this one. God has a big plan for our work, much bigger than we think. We will be touching ethnic groups in the far corners of the earth. It will be people going out and coming in. Lots of travel. 7 hours to Norwich. I remember what God has said to Moses. Look at the north, south, east and west. All this land I will give you. We are going to hear a lot of testimonies of people being used by God. There is going to be many Ephesians 4 ministries raised up in our midst. So that was in 2010 that was spoken. So regions beyond was pretty much nothing at that point when God spoke. And it is Steve says here, that was some 7 years ago at the time of writing this document. Now we're to be found on 5 continents, truly touching the far corners of the earth. The word fueled our prayers, it mobilized us in terms of raising leaders, and it encouraged us to go through doors into the nations that open before us. How grateful I am for that prophetic word and how it fueled our advance. It's quite incredible, isn't it?
And
I think even hearing again the story of Steve Oliver. So Steve, successful businessman, God speaks to him to move to a small town in South Africa. And they plant a church there that becomes a church which truly shapes that whole region. So they change the name of the region to be the name of the church.
Yeah.
Then he hears God speaking to him to go and to plant a church in Dubai, which then ends up touching many people groups and planting out into many nations. And then God speaks to him to go to the UK, a small church around London. And then God has spoken to him again to go and move into central London in order to plant again. This is a man who very much is shaped by what God says to him. And that whole movement is being shaped by what God has said. So then, we've kind of gone big and dang. So, what about us?
Oh dear.
It's got that verse in there. So, as I kind of hinted to, our church actually came out of that mid-UK team. Not that we're considered mid-UK, but actually in one of the mid-UK meetings, the leaders prayed about planting into Wales, and Wrexham was the place. When we were looking at what would be called, God spoke into a midweek meeting to a young student anti-dental, that we would be called Gateway, a place where people would come in, find God, go out and tell others. These banners are not just wise words, these banners are prophetic words that God has spoken to us as a church.
Very good.
We also find that we have seen many nations among us. So that sense of people coming in, finding God, going out and telling others. I still remember those Chinese that we had amongst us. Only one of them knew Jesus, but by the time they left, all of them did.
That's
and
right.
Then they're now in a church out of China. I still remember the day when we were in the Nick Whitehead Theatre and Callie just felt that we should pray for the nations to come amongst us. Went down to the front of the hall and prayed. And then when she opened her eyes, suddenly the top row was full of people from Hyderabad.
Yeah.
There's a sense that God speaks and God does. God said that we would be a church that would be like Antioch, that we would be a launch pad, that people would set their feet here and launch out and reach towns along North Wales. This would be a strong base. That's where that comes from. Our vision is to build a vibrant, effective church in Wrexham and go on to plant other churches in mid and North Wales. This is not our ambition. This is what God has said.
Yeah.
Again, I want to bring you to one that you may not remember this, or you may not know it all. 2.5 years ago, and that's why I put your picture on, Nigel. So 2.5 years ago, Nigel sent an email to us as a leadership team and just said, got this on my heart, can we give it some attention at the leadership meeting? And when we gathered, he said this: God has spoken to me from Isaiah 43, verse 19. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I am doing a new thing in Hebrew, is I will do a new thing. I will do something that is not occurred that will surpass all that he has formerly done. Spring forth, grass on dry ground, leaves on trees, life where there is no life, rivers, powerful rivers. The prophetic sense was, I do not want you to stay as you are, but will bless you abundantly. On Nigel's heart was that this was not to be a patched up church or a revamped church. This is completely new and different. Fresh, full of life and life-giving. So we will need new faith goals, new things to believe God for, new things to ask God for, new things in our hearts, new worship, new mission, new everything. And there's a sense of gladness as well that in Psalm 149, there's a victory song about the coming Messiah. Let Israel be glad in his maker, let the child of Zion rejoice in their king. Nigel sensed that gladness was the key. So the news should be in an atmosphere of glad. So that was 2.5 years ago in our front room. So what happened as a result of that? What happened is that we asked Andrew Atkinson to come meet with us and tell us how we could help Wrexham. What could we do to reach out to Wrexham? And then we phoned Phil Wynn to ask him how we could perhaps do a little pick or something in this area. What's been the result of it? Town centre clear-ups, like this morning, to the point that Andy spoke to me afterwards and said that was brilliant. He said that it was a real privilege to come and do that with us. He said that there's a real sense of... And he said to us that it was the sense that we were working as a community together as a Gateway.
Yes.
And that we knew what each other was doing and we had a joy and a gladness about us.
Amazing.
He didn't know what I was going to preach on.
Fantastic.
We tripled our efforts towards helping the food bank, which has included many things that we've done in terms of serving. I know you've been over in Kevin Maradon, the the collections for them. We've done those in the town. We have also done a huge harvest, harvest collection for the food bank as well. We've done multiple quiz nights for Nightingale House. Phil and Joe has served us magnificently with those. We've done a quiz night here to serve the Stroke Association. We did a harvest supper here for the Stroke Association as well. We've done the Wrexham Bake Offs in order to raise money for Nightingale House. We see that Julie even got a bottle of wine out of that. I don't know if that means that she also gets rewards in heaven or if it's just a bottle of wine here.
She does.
She does. We've got the street festivals, which was mentioned about next Saturday. We've got singing streets that we did last year. And we became part of Regions Beyond. God spoke, and look what happened. And this is what it means to be shaped by the prophetic. We could have perhaps just gone on. We could have perhaps just tried to work out what we did as a church. But God spoke. And God shaped. And it was so much easier. So much easier to just do what God says. There's a person sat on the back row who may never have been part of us if it wasn't for God speaking to Nigel. Nigel having the guts to share what was on his heart. That's what it means in terms of the prophetic. The prophetic involves whole directions changing, and it involves people's lives being changed. So, what are we going to take from this? I want to encourage us that God loves to speak to you. He really loves to speak to you. He loves to speak to his people. And God will speak to us. There are no exclusions to that. So find it in Acts 2. He says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And as you start to go through and you start to exclude yourself, he says, even on the male servants and on the female servants. There's no exclusion. He wants to speak to you. I believe that we really need to inquire of the Lord. As we look at all of those, God spoke and then fruitfulness comes. If we try and do things that look great, they may be great, but they may not be fruitful if God isn't directing us towards them. So let's make time to listen to him. Even this week, as we gather in our community groups and as we look at where we go, why don't we inquire of the Lord together about what we should do? I also believe that we should be really expectant for God to speak, make time for him.
Yes.
To listen to him.
Yes.
We talk a lot and we tell him what we want from him a lot. But why don't we make more time to listen to him?
Yes.
And I believe that we should be a people who should be so thankful for the way that he has spoken to us. I'm really happy and thrilled by the past 2.5 years. I think that as we look back 2.5 years ago, things seemed actually really different. For you to get a bit of a fly on the wall of what leadership meetings were like back then, it really was a drudgery to go, what are we going to do? Where does this go? God came, God spoke, God changed. Let's be a people who are expecting for God to speak. Let's inquire of him. And let's thank him so much for what he's done. And who knows what the next bit is? Who knows what the future holds apart from God? But isn't it exciting? Yeah. So I just want to pray for us, if I can. And I want to encourage you that perhaps in your community groups this week, just look and see what he's saying. Holy Spirit, I want to pray, would you come and would you work in us? I thank you so much that it is your desire to speak to us. I can't go over that. Of just that Jeremiah 33 thing. that you want to reveal hidden things to us.
Yes, Lord.
It's not that I'm given a really hard puzzle to work out myself.
Right.
Instead, you want to speak to us. You want to reveal hidden things, Lord, to us. So I want to pray that even now, and even this week, as we walk into various places, as we do various things that are among us, would we be a people who inquire of the Lord? And would we be a people who are open to those hidden things being revealed to us? I want to thank you so much for the way that you have shaped us, so much for the fruitfulness that you have brought out of that. And I want to pray that we would have gentle, soft hearts to hear what you're saying. But let us look to see what the Father is doing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Amen.